You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 77, Under the Hood. Yeah, getting back on schedule here after a few months off, or many months off. It might take a bit longer than I planned. Didn't mean to go 2 weeks between new episodes, but here we are. New episode, episode 77, recording on April 17th. I had to think about that for a minute. I'm leaving for Vegas here, probably as soon as I get done recording this episode, for a couple days to attend the NAB trade show. That's the National Association of Broadcasters. I am a podcaster now, too, so that's kind of cool. But that's related to mostly video production, which that's another area, Scooter Sunday, that I need to kick my schedule back into gear. And with that, let's start the news! Tesla Model 3 announced. Back on March 31st, Elon Musk and his Tesla electric car company announced the Model 3, which is a $35,000 four-door sedan that is rated at 215 miles per charge. Well, not as much as the original Roadster, which now offers 400 miles on the charge. It's a third of the price of that first-gen Tesla electric car. As of today, there have been more than 400,000 people that have put down a deposit of $1,000 to get the car when it ships. As to when those orders will ship, it varies. I mean, there's this caught everyone off guard. Elon Musk has said he hadn't planned on that many people wanting the car. You know, there's an obvious demand for electric cars, and it could be well into 2020. That's 4 years from now. Before some of those who signed up passed the expected 50,000 deposit or pre-orders, I guess, if you will get their Model 3. It's 4 years. It's still a long time to wait. I added to the show notes to this episode a picture. So there's a car. Shows you know, just an image of the car. You know, they had actual cars working at the at the March 31st unveiling, and people were able to go on a test drive around like the property and stuff. Not on actual roads, I don't think, but or maybe they did. I mean, some of the video footage I saw and everything. It's, you know, electric cars have a lot of torque. You know, when you off the gate, you know, or you know when you're at a stoplight and the light turns green, you punch it. You know, you can get going from 0 to 60 in about, you know, 5 seconds or 6 seconds or whatever. I forget what the rated one was for this. So, yeah. So, the car is very stylish. It's four doors. It's a sedan. The safety features are on par with the more expensive Model S, which has been available for some time now, but at a cost of close to $100,000. So yeah. So Tesla has, they've got two cars that are out there, the original Roadster, which they did a limited run, the Model S, which you can buy, and they have a Model X, which is the SUV, and I'm not sure when that ships. So yeah, now this Model 3, which, you know, hey, this is awesome to see this, but, you know, people can't afford $100,000, or at least the average person. So, but at 35 grand, you know, some of your gas-powered combustion engine cars are 35 grand, just average stuff. You know, over 4 years ago, I paid 20 for my little Nissan Sentra, you know. So, you know, cars are not cheap anymore. And, you know, if you think you can get a car for 10 grand, you know, good luck, you know. I guess if that's all you can afford, that's nice. But, you know, electric cars are the future, and you know there's going to be some competition for this car here. It's growing with GM, who many people didn't trust much after the EV1 they messed up in back in the late 90s. But they have they're apologizing, you know, their tail between their legs, so to speak, with the Chevy Bolt, which is supposed to be coming out in production this year. I'm not sure. I think they're planned only to make like 40,000 cars or something like that. So, but that's that's not to be confused with the electric gas pseudo hybrid Chevy Volt. That's a V. So the Bolt is it has high promises, and I've read a few articles about it. It's supposed to be pretty good. And there's also the next generation, the 2018 model of Nissan Leaf. which is expected to expand its range from, I think it's about 100 miles now to 180 miles per charge. Volkswagen, still reeling from its cheating diesel scandal, is now taking the safe route and focusing on electric cars. Yeah, a smart move, Volkswagen. and they're going to soon release the e-Golf, which I actually got to see in person in January when I went to the Consumer Electronics Show. It looks nice. It's kind of cool. Gets a meager 120 miles per charge. You know, that's, you know, we need more. You know, this 215 is getting better, you know. The Roadster at 400 miles per charge is where things should be, you know. So many things can change between now and the end of 2017 when the Model 3s are expected to roll off the production line. Perhaps Elon and his Tesla magic can make it all happen without pissing off too many of those waiting to join the electric car revolution. Well, versus FBI, the whole story. So I mentioned that I would have slightly mix up some of my news stories here, and this is kind of a new feature that I'm going to do every so often here, the whole story. So it kind of catches things up, you know, what's happened, what's been going on and all that. So let's do that. Let's catch everyone up to speed here. And so late last year, one of the shooters in the San Bernardino massacre left behind his work-owned iPhone 5C. The FBI couldn't crack it, so they forced Apple through legal means through the Department of Justice to crack this phone so they could see what clues might have been left behind by the killer who helped take 14 innocent lives with his wife. Apple fought back and refused to comply, stating that to crack this phone, they would have to develop an encryption-free backdoor version of iOS 9 for this particular phone. Not trusting that this special backdoor creating operating system would only be used for this one phone, they stood firm and refused to comply. The FBI then decided they didn't need Apple's help after all and contracted with a foreign company who were able to hack the phone. The feds let Apple off the hook and canceled a planned hearing. It was like hours before the hearing was supposed to happen. So once they had a bit of confidence in this iPhone hacking group, you know. So yes, the phone was hacked. They found pretty much nothing. Yeah, I think anyone that has been following this case and this news story and everything pretty much knew that's what was going to happen, you know. Yeah. So anyway, so much for all that. All the hoopla, da-da-da, threw Apple under the bus for not helping to solve this terrorist case, and then nothing pretty much on the phone. Yeah, gee, thanks, feds. Apple's not off the hook yet. So feds are now going after Apple again, along with many other police and forensic departments wanting hundreds of iPhones cracked to help open the case. So, yeah, FBI Director James Comey, it's just this one phone, and then was pretty much forced to admit that, no, I guess there's others, yeah. Others, yeah. Within weeks of this case, you know, their Department of Justice forcing measure. I mean, all these other people, you know, New York and other states that have hundreds of phones sitting waiting on cases to be solved. Hey, me too, you know. So Apple was pretty smart. You know, they knew that creating one version of an OS for one phone, just not feasible. That shit gets out there. So let's see here. So they, but they were hoping to find some kind of, you know, these other phones, they want some kind of evidence to help solve these other cases. So there's Android phones too on the docket, but that's not Apple's problem. Speaking of Apple's other companies besides Apple, they got lots of backing from Google, Microsoft, Twitter, and Facebook, and many other companies that are pretty much supporting Apple 100% in their stance to not hack into this phone or any phone for that matter. Now there is a bill in the Senate that proposes all devices have some kind of backdoor for the feds to get around the encryption and to help these other crime-fighting government types to help get into these phones, you know? It's like, okay, I get that they want to try and solve cases, and I get that technology is out there. You know, a lot of things can be used for good and or bad, so I get that. But you can't risk millions of good people just for the case, you know, a few hundred cases from criminals that happen to use their phone for bad, you know? It's just not fair. And, you know, the whole purpose of protecting our digital lives is just that. These companies have a vested interest. So all the other companies are standing firm and saying no, you know, and they're, as government entities try to get with them as well, too. So I'm proud of these companies and hope they can keep fighting the government. I can't imagine what kind of can of worms gets opened if the government gets their way. Every device will be open for any hacker to find their way into everyone's digital life. You want scary? That's scary. Mississippi passes religious liberty law. Hey, where have you heard this before? You know, I've talked about some other similar laws where they've used religious liberty as a legal means to discriminate those they don't like. In this case, in Mississippi, it's those who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. Last episode, I talked about North Carolina's gender bathroom bill aimed at LGBT citizens. So this is just one more. I talked about this a couple years back. Arizona did this as well. And they had to take a step back. They had to actually repeal this law because, you know, guess what? A lot of companies owned by gay people and have gay people working for them were pretty much ready to leave the state. So, yeah. This whole law where anyone can use a sincerely held religious belief to refuse service to gays, you know, is just wrong. Since it's Christians who are doing the hating, it could also be used against Muslims and other religious people, or like myself, those who practice nor believe in any religion. So this codification of discrimination goes back to the history of this country where blacks were second-class citizens. Who of these religious people don't care to remember and move forward? Obviously, there's quite a few, including governors who are willing to sign these laws. You know, but instead, they want to brand another group of citizens as less than or not equal. This is not about religious liberty. It never has been. It's about control over a group of people that white privilege doesn't want in their state. That's pretty much what it boils down to. You know, there might be some rare exceptions, but that's pretty much it. So far, many businesses are thinking twice about their continued operations and activity in Mississippi, and that list is growing each day. Maybe enough hits in the state's economy will have these religious nutcases thinking twice about their legal right to bigotry. One can hope. This week's rant, anti-abortionist against use of fetal tissue sales. A sting operation where those wanting to ban all abortions took video, edited it together, and tried to prove that Planned Parenthood was selling chopped up baby parts to make a profit. What the real deal is here is that Planned Parenthood donates fetal tissue to companies that do research to help reduce disease like cancer or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, just to name a few. They study the stem cells and tissues to see how they grow, how disorders of the body develop from the beginning, and how they can grow new tissue. It's all very legit, and each woman who has an abortion has to sign off on this process of tissue donation. But it's all under the radar, and not because they're trying to be sneaky about it, but because the anti-abortion crowd launches death threats and organizes manhunts to track down, and in some cases cause, physical harm to those who both have and perform abortions. Also, there's a thing called patient privacy, which comes into play here. What gets me is that most of these anti-abortion are also against any type of gun control. Yeah, I'm bringing up gun control. Willing to do whatever to stop any action to save the life of the unborn from a complete stranger they have no idea whose circumstances are and taking away their right to choose. But silent when the living are killed by gun violence, using pretty much any method and efforts to take away the personal choice of random women, yet claiming, oh, we can't stop anyone from using a gun to commit a violent crime. Really. Not knowing hardly any of the facts of the lives of any woman who chooses to have an abortion, they push for Congress to defund Planned Parenthood completely, which barely 3% of Planned Parenthood services are abortion-related. The other 97%... of their services. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Sorry. So barely 3% of their services are abortion. The various states have signed laws to defund Planned Parenthood. So just this week, which was a week and a half ago, California has started investigating those with the Center for Medical Progress, that the group that doctored up videos, on their illegal actions they took in the sting operation. I stand with Planned Parenthood and support what they're doing here, especially the 97% of other health-related services they provide, you know, things like pap smears or or, you know, family planning or contraception, you know, which some of these other anti-abortion nutcases are against too. So, again, I stand with Planned Parenthood. They provide to the insured and the underinsured these critical services for not just women, but for, you know, for other people, you know, men as well. So the cost to properly ship and transfer vital tissues and stem cells to help eradicate diseases and disorders has been removed, which Planned Parenthood didn't have to do, but they did to remove another layer of questioning from the anti-freaks. This practice is something we as humans should not be trying to stop, especially anyone with a political and religious bent and zero scientific knowledge. This week's shameless plug. Excited about the Guns N' Roses reunion of Axl, Slash, and Duff. One of the worst-kept rock secrets in many years was the inevitable reunion of the main three original members of Guns N' Roses. After Slash announced that he and Axl had patched up their differences, they were pretty much at each other's throat making weird threats for years, every fan waited to hear the news, which came a couple months ago. Then we waited for the dates, which the first announced were this weekend and next weekend's Coachella Festival. Then the Mexico City dates are in between the two Coachella dates. Then the surprise dual dates in Las Vegas last week. Then the even more of a surprise date at the Troubadour in Hollywood before the Las Vegas dates, where 250 lucky fans got to buy tickets for $10 each. Yeah, holy shit. If I lived there, I would have stood in line for hours for that. Yeah. This is not and never has been labeled a complete reunion of all original members. There's been no official word from the Steven Adler camp, who has been the most vocal proponent for a reunion for more than 20 years. He currently is going through back rehabilitation right now. So Izzy Stradlin has mentioned on a newly created Twitter account that he's not been asked to be part of this semi-complete reunion. It's been 23 years since Axl and Slash performed together on stage, and Duff too. As of the recording of this podcast episode, the band played to a massive crowd at Coachella. This was last night, so I'm recording this on Sunday, bringing guest guitarist Angus Young to play a couple of Bon Scott-era AC/DC songs with Axl on lead vocals, which just so happened to align with the hours before news that Axl would join AC/DC on their remaining tour dates this year. More on that story and more in detail in episode 79. So be patient, my AC/DC GNR fans. I hope to catch a date of this GNR tour. Obviously not here in Utah. Yeah, fat chance. That would be awesome if they came here to see this band live once more. I've seen them live before in 1991 and in 2012. Let's hope this lasts at least until the end of the year, as I'm not expecting any more at this point in history. It's electric! Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.